Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for another opportunity to be gathered here as a church. We thank you for your word that's coming with clarity. And we also ask and we receive insight into what's going to be taught in this meeting. We pray, we receive, in Jesus' name, the spirit of wisdom and revelation in its great abundance. In Jesus' name, cause our hearts to be open and cause our minds to respond rightly. And every source of destruction is rebuked in this atmosphere. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going to move quickly. Continuing our conversation from last week. And I believe this teaching is set to provoke the entire church to another level of commitment. So I have been trusting God's Spirit that we are going to take our commitment to another level. And I want to strongly believe that we can achieve this as a church. And last week, we began a teaching. If you were not here last week, then you should get to your teacher and let them teach you, and also listen to the messages or the message that was taught last week. And I believe that it's one of the hallmarks of this ministry, I believe. Because what we are discussing is what will propel us into achieving everything that God says we will achieve as a ministry. And so, we coined a sermon from Paul's instruction to Timothy. Now, we're going to be doing quite some scriptural studies today. Meanwhile, it's set to provoke us onto commitment. But we're going to be doing a lot of comparisons, and that should be able to stir us up as a church for us to be even much more convinced that that's the path to go. Right? So you should get your Bibles ready. Of course, you know where we are going to. 1 Timothy chapter 1. This chapter 6, verse 20. And this is Paul's letter to Timothy, which happened to be his son. Like I said, we're continuing from there. Last week, we paid more attention to commitment to God. But this time around, I'm just going to stay around that terrain, relating it more, maybe to the church. But we're going to do some hitting so that there can be some firm foundation in what we're building. Are you listening? So in 1 Timothy, Paul's letter, 6th chapter, 20th verse, he says, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. So we started with looking at this conversation, committed to the trust. And we realized that Paul is telling Timothy to keep that which is committed to his trust. You know, a lot of times people can be careless, right? If you were young, and I mean, not every child is careless, but I think I was also part of those who were careless from the beginning, right? They give you a shoe, it's like in 2 weeks the shoe, they can't identify the shoe. So My mom, actually, you can ask her, she had some colors that she used to buy for me. And my sister was better. But for me, she doesn't buy white shoes. For what? Even if you dashed her a white shoe, she said, no. That one can't wear a white shoe, right? So she likes black. Uh-huh. It's all weather, right? Brown. All weather. Even if you wear it and it's dirty, no matter how, you are still fine, right? But white is quite interesting. Sometimes it can be white, then you can't identify it any longer whether it's brown or it's white. So that's like a homely example of somebody who is not a good keeper of things. And you find out that they buy you like a laptop. Some of you, they buy you laptops first year. By first year, second semester. Not that the laptop wasn't good. Like a good Dell strong laptop. But in first year, second semester, the handle of the laptop is broken. As if you don't know what I'm talking about. It's either maybe you were sleeping and you turned to the other side or something. So now you have to open the laptop with some caution. How many of us have had laptops like that? You see, committed to the trust. A lot of people. So they buy you, what do you call it? School uniform. You know, there are some people, they can wear their uniforms. I know you remember from first year to third year, the uniform is not very bad. Well ironed all the time. But this is you every year. They have to buy you one new uniform. So that's an example of somebody who is not committed, is not a good keeper of things. But Paul is writing to Timothy and is telling Timothy, keep that which is committed to you. Keep that which is committed to you. So there are things, O Timothy, that have been given to you. And I'm trusting that these teachings will provoke you as we go. Right? Things that have been given to you. And then, the instruction is that keep it well. How many of us, our moms got us things and she said, keep it well. Yeah, keep it well. This thing I've bought you, keep it well. Keep it well. It's committed to your trust. Now, you know that for someone you don't trust, you don't give valuable items to. No. Trust always deals with someone you believe the person can handle what is committed to them. So, Paul is telling Timothy the same thing. Keep that which is committed to thy trust. Timothy, there are major responsibilities. There are truths that have been committed to you. There are charges that have been given to you. And your responsibility is that you're supposed to be keeping that which is committed to you, that which is given to you. Don't handle it lightly. And don't treat it lightly. Now, we're going to go through a quick Bible study of some of the things that Timothy was given as a trust. Look at them quickly. Now, pay attention to this. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13 to 14, look at what Paul is telling Timothy. We'll look at least like seven things that were given to Timothy as trusts. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13 to 14, he says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So Timothy is giving the gospel and Paul is telling Timothy, hold fast to it. Don't let it go. Keep it firmly within your grip. Don't let it go. So there are things that are committed to Timothy, and one of them is the gospel. Hold fast the gospel. Don't listen to what somebody else is saying to you, Timothy. You have been with me all this while. Hold fast to the words that have been committed to you. See another one in
1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11. In this, Paul was telling Timothy to pay attention to the ministry and leadership. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 11. He says, these things command and what? Is that a trust of ministry? Yes. And leadership as well. The things that I've taught you, I'm commanding you, go and teach the same thing. Have you ever had a 4-year, 3-year old boy? And then someone comes to knock on your door. Go, go, go. Say, please, we are looking for auntie. And then you start and say, tell auntie, I'm not there. And then the child says that, auntie says, I should tell you that she's not there. Then the funny thing is that you ask her, is she there? The first response, impossible, yes. Then she will hear the auntie say, what did you say? No, she's not there. Wow. So that's quite some trust. So you don't trust children. Nowadays children, you don't, they know a lot of things. Be shocked. So Paul is telling Timothy again, you need to command these things and teach. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 20 and then 21. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Then he now says, avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of signs, falsely so-called. So, he's talking about the trust of the defense of faith, which has to do with staying clear on the message that has been given to him. There are people who will come with profane messages. They'll come with vain babblings. They will also appear with signs, falsehoods, things that are scientifically proven. And he's telling Timothy, make sure you defend that which has been given to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Make sure you defend that which has been given to you. Then he now says, look at it in verse 21. Which some professing have erred concerning the faith. So it's a defense of faith. Defense of what you've heard. Then he now tells Timothy, make sure these things that are being committed to your trust, don't treat them lightly. See another one in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2. There's actually a charge to preach the word of God in 1 Timothy 4, verse 2. He now says, preach the word. Is that something committed to him? Preach the word. Preach the word. Preach the word. Timothy, don't sleep. Preach the word. You know, it's amazing how that sometimes we do not know that the things that God has given to us are because he trusts us to an extent. Timothy, preach the word. He now says, be instant in season and out of season. It means there's a constancy to your commitment to what has been given to you. And you know, whenever I read Paul's letter to Timothy, I'm always inspired because Timothy was like that young boy who had been given a lot of responsibility. over people's lives. And then Paul has all of these things committed to him. What is he going to do with it? Was he going to say, look at me, oh, a young man like me, all of this church work that they've been giving to me. No, that's going to be careless of him. So Paul is continually reminding him, be instant, in season, and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. So Timothy, there's something that is required of you. Timothy, there's something that is required of you. Now, you also listening to me, I'm coming to you very soon. There's something that is required of you. Something that has been committed to your trust. Something that has been kept in your, within your reach to keep, to guard, to protect. And then, you know, the sad thing is that many people treat it very lightly. They step on it. They kick it. They walk on it. But I believe that's not going to be you. Now see another instruction he gives Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 6. He tells him again, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gifts of God, which is indeed by the putting on of my hands. Timothy, don't forget the gifts of the Spirit. They've been committed to you. Don't treat them lightly, oh Timothy, because it's been committed to your trust. Now, do you realize that these trusts are responsibilities? Irresponsible people and trusts don't go together. Irresponsible people and trusts don't go together. So these are trusts, responsibilities, given to us or given to Timothy. But much more, there are similar trusts that are given to us as believers. Similar trusts that are given to us as believers. And we must pay attention. Are you listening? Pay attention. Handle them very carefully. Handle trusts very carefully. There are things that you're on earth here to do. You must pay attention to those things. Things that God has sent you to do, you must pay attention to those things. And all of these things need to be handled carefully. They need to be handled carefully. Every little thing that you are made or you're put in charge of is a trust by God. Yeah. There's a stewardship that you have for the things that have been given to you by God. God put them in your hands. Now, oftentimes also, when you trust people, you're able to commit things that require some carefulness. You know, trusts vary, right? Yes. You can trust someone enough and you allow the person, maybe for example, cook for you. Does he trust? That's serious trust. So you see, some of us just give trust. We buy watch anywhere, myself included. We trust. We trust easily. When you're passing by, you see that the watch is nice. You're like,
Let me try this one. You don't know whether they use Ebola Munsi or something. I don't even know.
Well, you trust.
You see,
you carry your heart and you give it to another. Is that not trust? That's trust. Like, don't treat my heart anyhow. I'm going to teach you something. It's going to be very important. Trust. The guys, you go to a family and say that I want to pick your daughter. I mean, it's very serious, you know. And I'm not just picking her, I'm changing her name. And the father says, okay, is agreed. That's a trust. Don't handle people anyhow. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everything given you is to a level of trust. So when we find out that you now pick someone's daughter, then you are now treating her anyhow. You see, yes, you cause pain to her, but much more, we see a greater fool in you. There's a folly in you because you cannot be trusted. You are irresponsible to handle something that's been given to you, such as lives or people. Due to your household part, they give you someone's son. Someone also says, okay, we allow, we trust that you'll be able to cook his meals and you'll be able to take your seats. Huh? We trust that you'll be able to prepare his meals, feed him well, make sure he's fine. And he comes back looking like he's not eating for 4 days. That's a trust. If I have a son and you are making him look lanky and accept that he's a Christian, I think we must question that. That's why when you get married and you come from your husband's house or something, they expect that you have chicks and all of that. That's a trust, because that's why the mothers are not even, they are not fine with, you know, mothers fight a lot with ladies. If you get a good mother-in-law, thank God, or what do you call it? Yeah. Because the way she has handled her son, giving him fufu and giving him everything, and then you now say that you are now come to marry, then we see him, he's looking like this. He has coccidiosis. Take your seats. So I want you to see that everything is a trust. Don't be careless. Everything is a trust. So when you trust people, you entrust delicate things into their care. You say, I believe that my daughter that I've been taking care of for 25 years, you can continue taking care of her. Is it trust? Some of your parents send you to school. They are trusting that you get to study. That's a trust. Because why would you pay school fees 7,000 or 8,000? But you go to school and you don't even know the handouts, the number of handouts. It's mid-sem that you know. Yes. Say, the phytochemistry slides, no? Mm-hmm. Abi, we did slide 2. Say, no. Slide 13. Say, hey! Charlie, where are we now? So, is it trust? Listen, I want you to see everything committed to your care is a level of trust. Is a level of trust. And much more, God trusts you with things, with places, with people. He trusts you. That's why you're here. If not, you wouldn't be here. If you have children, is it trust given you?
You have children. Is it trust? And is it trust that God gives you? So, just take a few seconds pondering on things that have been trusted to you, okay? Your pastor giving you a responsibility. Is it trust? Is it trust? So there are things that have been trusted in your hands. Are you going to handle them well? Or you're going to be an irresponsible person? You will be amazed. But God has trusts in you. He believes that if he commits this thing to your hands, you're going to handle it well. And of course, he's not going to come bodily, for example, as a pastor, and take care of the people. No. He's going to set a man over them and ensure that that man takes care of them. So everything that's given to you is a trust. That's why I'm telling you that I cannot, when you see me become very straight and a very hard and tough leader, it's because I know there's a trust that's been committed to me concerning your life. And if you miss it, I get to break that trust he has in me. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you also see that as a trust, the people you're supposed to follow up on, teach, love, nurture, are people that God himself trusts you with. He trusts those people with you. He trusts those people with you. He finds others who he can trust. Oh, I want to take care of the people, but who can take care of them? I can't come down as God and take care of them. So I'll have to send somebody who takes care of them, who loves them, who cares for them, who counsels them, who corrects them, who instructs them, rebukes them where it's necessary. It's a trust. And, you know, there was a time, I remember, quite recently, my brothers came over to see me. And, you know, normally you give people enough room for trust until they begin to break those trusts, right? Then you now start to say, no, not here, right? So I saw that, okay, let me trust them with maybe staying in front of the TV, not tell them to go and sleep. That's a trust. I'm expecting that. You know that it's late, so you go inside and sleep. So night, they can stay 10, 11, 12, 1, 2. Ah, this trust is not trust. Come on, go inside. It's not, you are over breaking the trust. Then they can stay. I realize that their capacity is high. No, from now, whenever is this time, go and sleep. You see, so you put the boundary because now they broke a trust that I'm trusting that when you're going to school, what time do you go and say, oh, by 9:30, mommy says we should go and sleep. By 10, enter, allay. That's a trust. So I just want you to see that everything committed to you is a trust, my people. And God trusts that you can take good care of these. Listen to you, your children are a trust from God. Your marriage is a trust from God. You know, he will not allow you to have somebody's son, somebody's daughter. It's a trust from God. He trusts you that you'll be able to take care of them. You'll be able to love them. You'll be able to protect them. You'll be able to stand up for them. Is it trust? When somebody calls you friend, that's quite some level of trust. Don't break trust. Don't be somebody that break trust. Even our own lives is a trust. Because God gives you life so you can live for him. Then when you are now living, you now say, let me find my own pleasure in something. It means you break that trust that he has in you. That's why it tells us, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Because days are trusts. You know that you're going to give account of everything you do every day, 24 hours? You don't know that? When I read that in Psalms, I now started taking notes of my day. Every idle word that proceeds forth from your mouth, you will have reason to answer him. Any useless conversation, you're going to answer. So he teaches us to number our days, that what we will do, we'll apply our hearts unto wisdom. We'll apply our hearts unto wisdom. For example, he gives you 85 years of your life, or 87, or 95 years of your life. That's a trust. 95 years of your life, you came, you enjoyed life, you drank, smoked, enjoyed yourself, had whatever. Girlfriends, you never even married, stuck to one person. Everywhere, you were everywhere. Never came to church. He looks at you and says, I should have trusted someone else with this long life. Does he trust? So, I want you to see that everything that you have is an entrustment. God trusts you with it. That's why he gave it to you. He trusts you with his son Jesus to die for you. That's what he did. Giving Jesus was a trust. Because he wants all men saved. But not all men are saved. It means men are continually breaking that trust that he wants to have everyone saved. So we ought to be very careful and intentional. What are you doing with trusts? Anything. What are you doing with trusts? What are you doing with what God has entrusted into your care? Everything giving you is a trust. In fact, when somebody even teaches you, that's a level of trust. Because that's an opportunity to learn. And for them to teach, they trust that you can learn that. Do you understand what I'm saying? They trust that you'll be able to learn that. So, when we teach you, or when you are taught something, what do you do with what you've been taught? That's why teachings are trust. The word of God is a trust to us. Are we going to act on the word? Are we going to do the word? Or we're just going to say, this plenty thing, we should fulfill all. Hey, put it aside. What are you going to do? I had the opportunity to do this. Did you use it well? I was sharing with you a story where a guy calls me, tells me that, Pastor. No, it was a text actually. He sent me a text. We're chatting. And he told me that, when I saw the message, I just kept on laughing and laughing and laughing. He said that he doesn't know what he does with his money. The money just finishes. I said, whose money doesn't finish? Huh? He was telling me that he doesn't know what he does with the money. He doesn't know. He just, whenever he takes the monthly money, the money is finished. I said, if that was how everybody was not knowing how they use their money, would you get money? Would you get someone to send you money?
If everybody didn't know how to use their money, and everybody had to go and borrow every time, oh, give me 50 cedis. Give me 100 cedis. What if the one that's giving you the 50 cedis, he has 70 cedis that has been kept over a prolonged period of 2 weeks without having to touch it? The way you used 50 cedis one day on fried rice. You see? That's why some people should go hungry. Because if you use 50 cedis to go and buy fried rice, you didn't think of what you eat tomorrow. Instead of, oh, didi, it's buy. So he says, Dubai. Tomorrow, take care of yourself. Then, tomorrow, yeah, the person trust, eh? Tomorrow, you see them dry mouth like that. You know, there's certain times where I've had to, this is me walking genuinely with God, because I'm wise. There are things that I needed 2 weeks after. He provided 2 weeks before. But do you know something? The 2 weeks before, no. You are sharing it. Hey, take this. Okay, go this. Oh, transportation, that. Oh, he will tell you, hey, Pascal, 2 weeks after, I don't know, it's going to come, you know. It's going to be there, you know. Then the 2 weeks comes, then you're seeing. So I have a way of dealing with him, right? Yeah, Lord, you told me already, but I think it's finished, so you have to help your boy, right? So there are things that you need. If you are smart and intelligent, you know those provisions were made a week before, 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before, into that need. But you just used it anyhow. Then you now come and say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, pay attention to this. He will supply again. But I'm teaching you to be wise. Because I've seen that myself. How many of you have realized that? Yeah, there was a time of your life, there was like abundance. But you didn't really do anything about it. You just enjoyed yourself. Then another season comes. And that's what wrecks faith. Because now you are praying. God, I receive. I believe. I receive. And like, boy, I already gave you that money. I remember quite recently, he sent me money for something. And he told me, this money I've given to you is for this. Okay? I said, okay. So when he gives it to you, you see that the money is going. I say, be careful. Be careful. Don't do that. Take your seat. Say, Lord, I'll go ahead. I'll go ahead. Then it now comes, Lord, you told me previously. But the funny thing is, he always will provide. Amen. He always will. So he's just teaching you to be wise. How did I get here? But it's actually commitment to trust. Are you listening? Yeah, commitment to trust. If you know how to keep money, you know how to keep the things that are entrusted into your hands, you're going to be successful. You're going to be successful. You're going to be successful. In whatever endeavor you set your heart to accomplish or to fulfill, or whatever you are doing now, there's going to be that success. So you ought to keep very carefully the things that are committed to your trust. God entrusts things into your hands. I know that people entrusted into my hands are lives. I know that very well. I know that very well. I know that lives are entrusted into my hands. That's why I lead the lives to go in the direction that I believe is right via His word. Because they are entrustments that He has. So He entrusts things into our hands. Many times we are not able to realize how important these things are. Are you going to be a trustworthy person? Right? Look at something Jesus says in Luke chapter 16 verse 10. And I want to encourage every one of you listening to me, you're going to be committed to the trust of what God has given to you. Now, what do you have that He didn't give you? Tell me.
Tell me, what do you have that God did not give you? Your money? Your job? The church and the commitment you have? No. Everything you have, He gave you. So that's a trust. Are you listening? And you're going to learn to be committed in little and in much. In little and in much. Now, a great man of God shares a story today, and he said when they started the ministry, there was another church who had a lot of people and a lot of cars, you know, and he had just a few people in the church. And anytime he'll drive past that church, he'll say, "Hey, when will my church become like this?" But there was something that he said. He said that he never stopped being faithful to the people that had been entrusted to his care. Yeah, never stopped being faithful. So you're going to learn to be faithful in little. Don't say it's little, so you want to just treat it anyhow. It's little, so oh, it's little, it's little, it's not anything. When we grow big, we're going to do it. Or when we become big, we'll now be like that. No. You're going to be faithful in the little. The little things that have been committed to your hands. Are you going to be faithful? In the little things that have been committed to your hands. Very important. See what Jesus says in Luke 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And like I said, he makes you a steward, one who manages, one who oversees. And he is trusting that you will be committed to keeping everything that he has given to you. Speak in tongues. As I speak to you, God's Spirit is going to bring to you things that he trusts you with. Jaligro sto so su mamante kiste klapa tuso volo kuta mande ke je vrete kiste prata kapa shanda brasa kete kijo balisha krato so so brande shigita vala bataya ja prata katala bashanda brosto viva ketentila brastova kapataba je prataba je prataba brato kaba je prataba roto posa brata kaba je prataba manta tatiste krete vele parusta balegra standa balivo shota rata basha Kelima manto zozusto prate ketekista prata kapataya. Lord, to be faithful to the things committed to my trust. Manta pa, jata kapa, baroste kepa, brante keteti je prata kapa, malisha trando zota kapa telepipa, mando roto pozo, brante kepetea ja prata kapaya, kalibra jata tala makopaya, retete je prata kapala bataya. To this ministry committed to it, jetekia, Manto sobra taba zebra daba to them lives committed to my trust as a pastor. Malush te granto zuso brate keba juta barakataya halimba kata halambro jate kepa palusha branda kata pareketele barusta brante kepetivo soto koporata karia malushta barande jekretisto brondo kopotoba mati zadaba jada kapa paretete jete kepepe palusa pakitanta. In Jesus' name. So there are things committed to your trust. And you must be a good steward of those things. Don't forget, ministry is a trust. It is. Now, what are you going to see in the heart of somebody who is committed to handling carefully what has been entrusted into their hands? What are the traits you're going to have in such individuals? Because if I'm saying be committed to the trust, I might as well show you what are some of the things that you have to do that makes you an approved person of somebody who is committed to what has been entrusted them. Number one. So I said that in the heart of a committed person to what has been entrusted in his care, you find that this individual, which I believe is you, would not act on feelings or circumstance, but on conviction. You don't act on feelings or circumstance. That's why those say, I feel. When the feeling is gone, you'll be really hot. Because feelings are like, they come and go. They are not constant. So if you want to feel like it, you're not going to be somebody that can be committed to what has been entrusted in their care. So you're going to choose the fulfillment of what God has asked you to do over whichever way you feel. Do you understand? So you're not going to act on feelings or circumstance, but on conviction. You show up when conditions are favorable or not. Remember what Paul tells Timothy. Be instant in season and out of season. Be instant in season and out of season. In the church, be instant in season and out of season. In season means that when everything is all, everybody feels like there's a jolly moment, right? Then the days come where we are supposed to consistently persist in the things we've been doing all the while. Then you see some others say, Charlie, this thing is very hard. You are breaking trust. When it's time for prayer, then it's time for consistency. You see them just square their shoulders down and you just say, later, catch you later. I'm gone. I have to go. When conditions are favorable, when conditions are not favorable. You see them showing up all the time. When you see, telling you, when you say this is my wife, it's committed to the trust, my people, there's no I feel she makes my high blood pressure go high. Your high blood pressure goes high means it's overboard. No, committed to the trust. Are you going to be committed to what has been entrusted to your hands? You know, when you're a brother, you say that, I want to, you know, some people text three different people and then they now say that I'm checking the waters. You're not committed to the trust. Because you are hiding from B what you say to A. And you hide from C your relationship with B. And they all three are not too sure who exactly it is that you are. So learn to choose. It's commit to the trust. Do you see that? When you say, we are here in Christ's family, that's God planting you and committing to you work and responsibility in His place. If they should move us out of this building, say, Charlie, me being that church, the way they keep long, no? I say, I'm not changing it because you said we keep long. Committed to the trust. It's really difficult to, Charlie. The way they pray. No, it's too much. Then you are now listening to them say, it's true, I have a life. I have a life. What this person is saying is really true, pal. Then you now start distancing yourself. You know, we ought to make sure that we do not become irresponsible to what has been committed to our hands. Some of you, the least persecution from whom? Because your mother attends some powerful church. See, I got to you, thought I was going to say something else. Nope. It's a powerful church. They use things. Then you are here growing in the gospel. You've come to hear the gospel of Jesus. You've come to be taught. You've come to be raised. In fact, we got you speaking in tongues, got you feeling the Holy Ghost. Then we now say, it's time for you to choose. Be committed to what has been entrusted to your hands. Say, my mother, my father. We don't have fathers and mothers. Committed to what has been trusted to your hands. You see that? You say, pastor, you see, my great grandfather is in this powerful church. My auntie is in this powerful church. My uncle is in that powerful church. So, after you've learned gospel, and you know, some people, they just throw away the gospel like it's nothing. And they go back to believing strange things. Get them filled in the Holy Ghost. Get them, you know, very enthused about ministry. They just walk out. They say, it's my mother. Mother has not done anything. You are just not committed. We had managed this to lock outside and lash us, stop us from jumping walls and all of those. We never stopped. So I'm teaching you, right, to be somebody that when you get hold of something that you know is valuable, you never let go. And that's how I've lived my life. Take your seats. I'll never let go. Never let go. Something that I know is valuable has been entrusted to my hands. I will never let go. So you see somebody who is a committed person, you're going to see that they act not on feelings or circumstances. Yeah, pastor, you know, all my classmates that I got married to, I went to school with, they're all getting married. All the people I got married to. And pastor, we don't know where you are taking us. Pastor, and they said that
It's like I don't want to say anything, but if you say something now, they'll say you are disloyal. If you say you want to get married, don't say you are disloyal. Pastor, please, I also want to ask whether you have a clerical. Pastor, can you bless my marriage? They want to run away. That's what they are doing. So they are not committed to the trust. Committed to the trust. Oh, it's valuable, but this is more valuable. But why are you putting things that are not comparable to God over him? Take your seat. Let me tell you something. And I'm going to ask the ladies. It's my personal question. Because can I trust you people with ministry?
Yes, Pastor.
Can God trust you with ministry?
Yes, Pastor.
Are you sure?
Yes, Pastor.
Because when I do the maths, I feel like I should flow more with the guys and forget about the ladies. One gentleman can reset a mind, I'm telling you. One. As if I don't know them. One, I'm telling you. You'll be shocked. One. Reset, complete. They'll forget all the teachings. But in Jesus' name, you are not forgetting. So when I was doing some maths, I was saying, let me see whether I can. Because I need to also be wise. Then the Lord said, no, they'll be committed. Right? So, you find out that whatever is given to you is a trust. Don't break it. You know, take your seat. I've always told you this, that one of the things I can tell you for a surety, you will always find in me, I'm loyal. It doesn't matter whatever happens. I don't quickly forget what somebody has done to me and what somebody has done for me. Yes. That's why all my major relationships in life, I still have them very intact. Yes. All my major relationships. This one helped me. This one did that to me. This one did that for me. This one did that. I still have them in my life. There's not a point in time where you say, I walked out. No, you will walk out, but I will still be there. That's commitment. There are some people who missed it a couple of times, When I see them, I say, no, let's give that person another opportunity again. I tell myself that. Because if I'm committed to you, I stick with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? So we also must be people that can be trusted. So in the heart of a committed person to an entrustment, you're going to see that the person is not going to act on feelings or circumstance, but on conviction. Number two, you will find in the committed person's heart a sense of responsibility. Responsibility. You know, let me tell you something. Add 10 years to your age, all your fooling will stop. Don't say you are 22, say you are 32. Everybody, add 10 years to your age right now. You see that you are not a young boy, So when they put things in your care, you don't handle it well. Say, Pastor, 10 years is too much. Do it 5 years. Add 10 years. Yeah. I would have asked you, but it's a sermon, so I can't ask you. I would have asked you. Some of you are 39, 29, 45, 57. Yes. If you add 10 years, I feel I'm too young, I need time to think so much about, you forget those things. Yeah, so in my mind, there's 10 years added to my age.
Yes. 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 Have you added 10 years to your age? Have you seen that you're not a small lady? So you're playing all of that. You see, you're not small. Take your seats. Think about it. So there are things that have been trusted to your care. And 10 years, it will come right now. It comes right now. You do this 10 years, 20 years. So in the heart of a committed person, you are going to find a great sense of responsibility. We tell you to handle things in church. We tell you to handle things in the ministry. We give you a responsibility. There's a commitment you must have to God. There's that sense of responsibility. That sense of responsibility. Not pastor is going to do it. Not pastor will pray for us. You too, are you not praying? Won't you pray? I'm asking you, won't you pray? Every time we should send you text message. Where are you? Come to church. Only you. We've been following up on you 2 years, 9 months now. Huh? No sense of responsibility. Somebody sent me a message. Said, "Oh, pastor," I said, "Hey." Hey. No sense of responsibility. We should keep telling, come to church. It's this the time. The time we always explain to you. You need to come to church. God loves you. He died for you. Look at the series I did for five weeks. Eh? It didn't work for you. I don't know. 5 weeks teaching you why you should be in church. Why do you come to church? Taught you 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, spoke on you, laid hands on you, prophesied over you, told you are going to become pastors and prophets. And all of those things. I've done all of those things. Laid hands on you, you fall down, you roll. The presence of God is mighty, is moving the place. Come to church 10:30. I've given you 2 hours of sleep time after 8 o'clock. Now say that the time is too some way. You need to round up and close early. Round up and close. After I've given you sleep time. No sense of responsibility. Huh? I've accepted. That's what pastor, you always be talking like a mother. I've accepted it. But you too, you have to become responsible. A pastor, there's no job that you talk than a pastor. There's no job. It's true. Eh? You are a pastor too. It's true. You will always be talking. A pastor, always be talking every time, explaining. Always be talking, texting. You know, I think someone sent me a message. I replied in a couple of days. The person got angry. I said, wait, I wish you were in my shoes. You always be talking, trying to explain. You know, every time you wish, always encourage you. You always need encouragement. Lisa, if I need encouragement, everybody needs encouragement. We should always say, hey, you can do it. You can say, hey, my brother, it's been 10 years now of telling you can do it. You can go for it. You can, I mean, let's be serious. Eh? It's like a child that you say, you can do it. You do it. In Jesus' name, you have done it. The child is not doing it. He say, hey, my brother, get me a cane. Do it right now. It's done. You see, so there are things that, you know, you must grow to that sense of responsibility. At this time, look at how many years you've been in Christ. You have heard God's word. You've been taught countlessly on reverence. Then you still come inside and you are pressing your phone. You need an usher to come and tell you that your phone you are pressing is not allowed in church.
No sense of responsibility. Do you see that? So we ought to see ourselves as responsible. If we're going to be committed to the trust, there's going to be that sense of responsibility. I mean, when I need encouragement, I read this one. Pick it. Glory to God. Glory to God. We move. But we have to always tell you, have you read your Bible? We give you memory verse. We give you this. We do that. You'll be going into a relationship. We'll say, please don't go. You go. They'll break your heart. You come back. They will not have to tell. It's okay. It's okay. But if you are responsible, there are some mistakes you won't make. You won't make those mistakes. Huh? You won't make those mistakes. I believe that ministry is teaching me a lot. Like now, I'm calmer. Like when I see trouble, people in trouble, I'm not moved. Yeah. I'm not moved. Not because I don't care. Because I know I have a solution to it. So I'm not very jittery. So, there's a time where actually Paul says the same thing. He says, at this time, you ought to be teachers. How is that we still teach you the basic elementary foundational teachings? We've been teaching you for a while now. You're going to have that sense of responsibility. Listen to me. Ladies, don't waste your time texting people you know you are not whatever. Just be responsible. Do you understand what I'm saying? Take your seats. So, in the heart of a committed person, you're going to see that sense of responsibility. That sense of responsibility. That sense of responsibility. At your age, you still leave your things messed up everywhere, messed up. Your mother still has to come and tell you, oh, clean the place. It's long overdue. So after this meeting, we're going to be serious. We're going to be more serious. Yeah? So are you going to have that sense of responsibility? If you have been here even 5 months, you should start following up on people by now. It's been a long time. You don't have anybody to tell that you need to come to church. Oh, are you coming to church? Oh, are you coming to church? 2 years, we still ask you, oh, are you coming to church? You are just not serious, you see. Turn to yourself. Are you the one he's talking about? In the heart of a committed person, you're going to find dependability. Highly dependable. You can be counted on. You know when you say someone is a successful person, all right? They're able to bring things together and keep those things, watch those things for them to grow. That's where a successful person is. Right? They gather something, they are able to keep it, watch it, and make it grow. A non-successful person will gather, watch it scatter, because he can't keep what he gathers. So if you're going to be committed, you're going to be given to what has been entrusted to your hands, you're going to be dependable. You're going to be found at your duty post when you should. I met somebody, one of the stories I always think about. I was in a trotro some time back. And then the trotro mate had his trousers to the bottom. And he had it to the bottom. And then I believe it was a white boxer, but it became ash. So there was an Alhaji that entered the car. And the Alhaji
When he sat down now and he saw the thing, he started talking. He said that, do you know what he said? He said that the boy is going to give we that are in the car virus and bacteria. I was shocked, boy. He said it out loud though. He said he will make us sick in the car because the thing is full of bacteria and virus. I said, this one is very serious. You know? So why would you walk with your trousers down? Why would you do that? Why? I don't understand. Make me understand. I was also in a trotro, and then there were some two ladies. They saw a lady who was dressed shabbily, like she was dressed almost revealing herself. And they turned to themselves and said, hey. Yeah. I remember so well. So that then just remove it so that we know that you want to walk naked. But if you are wearing a dress, wear a good dress. Let's be serious, you see. Choose between not dress. If you're not dressed, say, okay, you are not dressed. We agree. Not that it's like you are not sure whether you are dressing or you are not dressing. So, number four, in the heart of a committed person, you will find sacrifice. Your commitment is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you comfort. It's going to cost you sometimes even your reputation. How many of us serve God and we look like very stupid before the world? It's like they tell you, you don't know what to do with your time. You're wasting away. Yes, that's what it means to be committed to the trust. You know that God has called me to the ministry to do something. God wants me serving him. In the heart of a committed person, you're going to find focus and determination. You're going to find focus and determination. Speak in tongues. Oh, reshi sasuso mante. And it's going to be your prayer that there will be no trait of carelessness, irresponsibility in your life. Jila pratoso zivereda viva kapala bataya. Sunamande ki pratava shatalava jebra kaparada baya. Lord, I get to understand there are things that you trust me with. There's ministry, there's disciples that you trust me with. That you trust me with. That you trust me with. Lord, I want to be found faithful and committed to what you've trusted me with. Bresi sakrata parada basha. Japrata palabako rotoposo brande keteliba. Je prete ketelebroso protopol. Je praka papa pakapaya. Broso teketalaba japrata balaba. Help me not to handle it lightly, loosely, carelessly, without reverence. Kalima sante, je prantushto prata kapaya. Pray that prayer. Mate kisha, bratoso, brategisha, brata kapa, jete libro, soto, rababashta. Kalima tambro, zuso pratekete, je brata palaba. Manteke, help me not to act on feelings, on circumstance. But Lord, ketala masozo proto paparon conviction. Je prete ketelebo, leprosate kepa. Let there be that sense of responsibility in my life. Shinatush kibratal pakizozo prate kepaya. Lord, I want to be a dependable person. Somebody that can be counted on. Mesono mando sopra. Any tax that is committed to my hands, I'll be a good steward of it.
And I watch everything that's committed to my hands grow and multiply and become great. Let nothing die in my hands. 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 Shate kebosh, brandus kebrandi, zeketalia, shotor mania. Kilambra Jadaba Li Jegeteli Bakapa Mantri Sekepa Lo No So Pantege Zize Manda Mando Suso Mangra Teketiso Brondo Kopotosta Shepekepe Pratakapa. Let nothing die in my hands. Let nothing die in my hands. Let me be found dependable, true, trustworthy of every cause committed to my hands. Let me not be a waster of opportunities, a waster of time, a waster of resources, a waster of the things that have been committed to my hands. Let me handle them with care. Let me handle them well. Let me handle them gatiso brande kitata. For everything that I've been committed by my pastor, also Lord, help me to walk in the consciousness that there's a trust accompanied with that. Shalepro Zeus Mande Kista Brado Susta Malinga Tebene Pretisa Matapa. Pray for your hearts this very minute. If there's anything in my heart that makes me irresponsible right now, by the supernatural virtue of prayer, by the supernatural virtue of prayer, let it be ripped off. Let an unchallenged attitude, an attitude that is not of God, an attitude that is careless right now, supernaturally, in this atmosphere, Malekreste Brando Sutapa Mando Robobosa, I'll be a good steward of that which God has entrusted into my hands. In the name of Jesus, Kelama Tombo Suzo Pratekepa, La Prashata Kapa, Lepros, Mandegebe Sipapa, Barotopo, Segrete Beliva, Mandegreze Bradaba, a loyal steward. A loyal steward all through my life. Let me be a woman that knows how to keep what is handed over to her. Let me not destroy my family. Let me not destroy the ministry. Let me be a good father, a good man, a good servant of you, O God. Everything that is entrusted in my care, let it flourish. Let it multiply. Maleketiza. Let me be dependable. A dependable spirit. A dependable spirit. A dependable spirit. One that can be counted on. One that can be trusted with. Lord, trust me with your work, and I will fulfill it. Malostanda, Shiva Kapaluna, Radana Basande, Mando Russo, Predekista Talabaya, Vivantora, Kelapaya, Shebrande Kapaya. Pray from your hearts, dear people of God. Replegis, Somonoto, Suso, Pratekepa, Mantaka. Help me not to be careless. Help me not to be careless. Retekilaba, I refuse to be careless. Manosto, Brandeketa, Shata Talaba. I'll be a good steward of information. I'll be a good steward of the gospel. I'll be a good steward of whatever is committed to my hands. Manigiso Blande Ketalaba Shete Keporomo Si Secrete Bea. At my workplace, in church, I'm gonna be committed. 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 In every space, in every sphere of my life, in the name of Jesus. Malus the Grantila Baradabaya. We reap out from hearts any sense of irresponsibility. We reap out from hearts any sense of irresponsibility. We reap out from hearts any sense of irresponsibility. Let me be a good steward of anything entrusted. The work, the people, disciples, the people, disciples, the people, disciples, Maniga Sota, Brando Suse Brigadier, Cateno Monomondo, Mandegres. Let every sense of irresponsibility in this atmosphere, let it disappear. Manto Rababa, Mantege Baba, Shando Rababa, Mantekizo Brodo Borobo, Mantekeba, Ropro Soda Robobo, Manisteketa Tula Mandia, Ropopo, Rakatanaba, Rakatanabada, committed, committed, committed. Committed, trustworthy, committed, trustworthy, committed, trustworthy, committed, trustworthy, committed, 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 Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Take your seats. Take your seats. So you're going to be somebody that can be trusted with anything. Be that person. Be that person. Don't be fond of starting work and not finishing. It's a sign of an uncommitted person. You start something, but you never finish. Put away whatever you say is a curse. Let's put away that. You start something. You make up your heart in prayer to finish what you started by the grace of God. Don't be somebody that starts something. You know that people, you give them work to do. They get on. They start it, but they don't finish. Not that they were sick. They just are not interested in doing what you have asked them to do to the end. You give someone work to do. When you're around, the person is working like a very hard-working fellow. Say, do this, handle this for me. Because you are around, the moment you just leave there, you see that they just put everything aside. They go to sit down. Their work has finished for the day. That's something I always realized when I was working. When probably a senior manager walks in, everybody's looking for duster. Bill. Trying to arrange medications. Out. TV. Telenovela. No. Don't be someone that's not trustable. I never saw maybe a senior manager at a point that where I know I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I just get up because, hey, you are working pound. Yes, you know. Why do you do that? So you work whether someone is looking at you, watching you or not. You're constantly at work. That's a committed person. Say, clean this place. You start clean. And when the person leaves, phone. No. I'm teaching you to be committed in every area of your life. Are you listening? Now, in the ministry, you also ought to be committed. We're going to see some examples. Titus chapter 1, verse 4. Titus was a typical example. In the ministry, many have talents that God trusted them with. And they keep giving excuses why they cannot serve God with those talents. Gifts. Abilities. They keep giving excuses. In Titus chapter 1 verse 4. To Titus, mine own son after the common faith, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause, I left thee in Crete. Thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting. So, Paul has left a man in a whole town because he trusts that he's going to set things in order. What do you do in your discipleship groups when pastor is not there? But you always forget that God is everywhere. See, Pastor come, oh, Shabalaba, yeah, Kando Lobo. Pastor just goes out and she may save us.
No, committed all the time. So Timothy was that typical example. He was going to be committed, or he is committed to doing what Paul had asked him to do, and that was that he ought to set things in order in Crete. Don't be fond of doing things more, you know, energetically when people are watching. And then when nobody's watching, you just die off. No. You are a committed person and you are constant, whether anyone is watching or not. Are you listening? If not, you're going to be like a hypocritical person. Or doing something when nobody, but when you are up and very active. No. You're committed all through the time. So Titus is that worthy example as well. Now let's look at another who is actually Silvanus in Acts 15. Who is actually Silas in some renditions. I mean some versions. Well, I say translations. So Silas, who happens to be Silvanus. Now, Paul had committed people around him, right? And we're just trying to see some of these examples. You can sing. You're not here singing. I think God is very pained that he gave you a voice. He should have added it to me so that I would use it for him. So here is Silas in Acts 15 verse 40. Acts 15 verse 40. Acts 15. Somewhere very far. And Paul chose Silas, which is Silvanus, and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. So this is Silvanus, who was actually a co-laborer with Paul, right? So Paul chooses Silvanus in the preaching and teaching of the gospel. Now, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me, and who? Silvanus. That's Silas, right? So, he was chosen. It means that at least Paul trusted that Silvanus was going to be an effective team member. Then, what is Silvanus found doing? He's found being committed to what he had been trusted with. It means that he would be found preaching and teaching the gospel with Paul. Do you see that? All right. So Silvanus is found committed to the trust. The trust of what? Teaching and preaching the gospel. The gospel was preached amongst the church in Corinth by Paul, Silvanus, and Timotheus, which is Timothy, but our emphasis will be on Silvanus. So, he is found committed to the trust. You know, some of us have to wait a whole week to preach the gospel on a Saturday. I think you can do better. Like everywhere, sit close to somebody, you start up a conversation. That's somebody who is committed to the gospel that has been given. Not that you're waiting for some special evangelism placard time. No. Everywhere is an opportunity to prove your commitment. So Silvanus is found doing the same thing. Look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus. What is Silvanus found doing? He's found also here co-authoring a book. With Paul and Timothy. Can you see that? So, Paul and Silvanus or Silas and Timotheus unto the church in Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Silvanus is chosen. Silvanus is found preaching. Silvanus is found co-authoring a book with Paul. That's some good commitment. Do you see that? He's committed. He's committed. He's committed to what he had been called for. He had given himself to it. So in the ministry, are you going to be committed? You know, some of us don't even preach, lest we even think about co-authoring a book. But you're becoming more stronger in your commitments. More stronger in your commitments. Remember, it's not supposed to be inconvenience. It just has to be that I am committed to this. And so I'm doing this. So commitment is a choice. When you see people who are very committed to God, they've made a choice to stay committed to Him. So Silvanus is found being that worthy example of being committed to the call, to the relationship, and to the work. In fact, look at Acts chapter 16. You see that he was there when Paul was in prison. You remember Paul and Silas, Paul and Silvanus. That's Silvanus. He's found being committed. In Acts 16 verse 19, see something? We're reading to 30. And when her masters saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas. That's quite some commitment. He was always with Paul. Always with Paul. Always with Paul. In the preaching. In the work of the ministry. Always present. You know, let it never be your story that in a few years' time you are found not being relevant in the work. Let it be very far from you. So Silvanus is found being constant in the work. To an extent where they are caught. Verse 20. And brought them to the magistrate saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city. Pay attention. And teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive. Neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude arose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and setting the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled.
But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Through the beatings, they didn't say, "Now the door is open, we've changed our mind." All of these things, eh? This God, God, God. Have you seen God before? Paul, have you seen God before? Paul says, "Yeah, a light shone on me on my way to Damascus, but I heard a voice, but seeing him pine is counted like in his whole face. I'm not too sure. I think Paul, you've seen him, so I have not seen him. Bye bye. Silvanus is gone." And that's how some of us treat the ministry. All we have on our plates are excuses. Excuses why we can't come. Excuses why we can't be in church. Excuses why we can't pray for long. My back, my bones. Excuses why we can't be constant in meetings. We give you things to handle. You have excuses why you can't handle those things. But I'm trusting that we are going to be committed people. Are you going to be committed? Committed. Be known as somebody like that. That can be trusted with something. That can be trusted with people. We don't need to send you and follow up again to see whether our sending was fruitful. And what you bought or what you did turned out well. I believe that is changing. You're going to be trustworthy people. I believe you already are, but it's going to be more stronger. More stronger. Take your seat. See Acts 17. See Acts 17. Verse 1 to 9. When they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them three Sabbath days, reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. And some of them believed and consulted with who? Paul and who? And Silas. Do you see that? He was there throughout all the changing scenes of Paul's ministry. Today, not many people can stay in a ministry for even a long time. They start, say, "Oh no, we must go somewhere." No, you must be found committed. Are you listening? Committed all through the times. Committed when it's smooth. Committed when it's rough. I remember, Bishop Dark shares a story where, you know, at that time, the government had, maybe they're in church right now. They enter, they break the buildings, scatter their cars. Yes, that happened. That's when you see the people who are committed. Because he said that a lot of people were affected. And the uncommitted ones say, "No, we've escaped this time. We don't know when it's going to come. Please, Methodist." You didn't get that one. This one man church, you can't even tell where the one man churches are coming from. Where are they going? Where are they coming from? Where are they going? To whom do they submit to? What is one man church? Is this one man church? One man church? Oh. Which church is not one man church? I keep repeating this. Committed. Because you know the value it gives to you. You know the value it brings to you. The value it adds to your walk with God. So you will find Silas or Silvanus committed. I'm trusting God that as the years go by, I'll be able to look around and say, "This person was there. That person was there. That person was there. That person was there." Yeah. Some might have to, maybe at a point in time, leave. Then they'll say, "That person, is because of this person, we have a church in this place."
Not that they are going to start their church. No, we don't start churches here. Here we are a church. So every church is under this church. Yeah. You leave, you go back to your campus, you say, oh, it's because of that sister that we have a fellowship in that school or in that campus. Yeah. We're going to senior high school. It's because of that sister we have a fellowship on that campus. It was because of that brother. We have a work going on at Legon, any of the hostels, because he got admission into that hostel. So he takes up the responsibility and he proceeds to find what God wants to do on that land and he starts it himself. Rather than just walking out. So it's too difficult. Silvanus could have said the same thing. It's too hard. It's difficult. All these years, well, we could have made something out of it. We could have even invested. Silvanus was not found doing this. I believe strongly that God is raising many of these kinds. Committed people. Hardly, die-hardly committed people. One of the things I tell God, I said, Lord, I'll be committed to you. And I keep telling him, I trust you. And I'm not even doubting. I'm not saying it out of faith. I trust God. You should be able to say that to yourself. Are you listening? Say that to you. He loves it when you tell him you trust him and he knows that you trust him fully. Don't say that, oh Lord, what am I doing? Eh? What am I? No, I trust you. I trust you. I trust you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. I trust you. I trust you. I trust you. So Silvanus is found staying there all the time. He's present. He's moving around. He's moving around. With Paul, preaching, including beating. Imagine if they capture all of us right now. Then they lay me down, pa. Give me 25 strokes. Then they say, yes, so he's the first example. You either say you are involved or you are free. Now the strokes are not little strokes. So I say, oh yeah, we can take it. I used to take back strokes. No, like strokes. Strokes that makes you go to work. So, okay, the next person, you see that someone said, pastor, are you? Say, someone to say, oh, 25 I can take. But when they give you 3, you say, uncle, change of mind. That's what happens in life. I'm teaching you practically what happens in life. Suddenly your mom was happy that you were very Christian-like. Then overnight, she changes her mind. You're not going to that church again. You're not going again. I've changed my mind. You're my son. You can't go to that church. That's when you see. Are you going to still go? I've had people crying on me. I say, why are you crying? It's your battle to fight. Don't cry. You suffer. Do you understand? You don't like it, eh? I heard someone crying. Why am I being persecuted? I said, oh, my sister. You go through it now. It's all part. You call your father and your father asks you, where are you? You say, I'm going for evangelism. Say, what is evangelism? That's your evangelism. Then your heart now starts to break. Me, I've been there. I've been asked countless times, what is that? I've had to say, I'm sorry, but this is how it's done. Hey, you and your evangelism. How many of us have had your mother,
He says, yeah, that's what called evangelism. You and this, your evangelism. And then your heart, you know, your heart will like respond to it. Right? But I'm telling you, I think the Lord told me something while I was coming. I remember now. He says, make a choice. Are you listening? Make a choice. And that choice should be Him. Make a choice. And that choice should be Him. I believe you're going to be blessed now and even when you stand before Him, when you make a choice. Take your seats. Romans 16. We're going to see another lady who's called Phoebe. These are all good examples of people who were committed. Romans chapter 16. So if you know someone who is Phoebe here, tell them we have their name in church today. In Romans 16 verse 1, he says, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church. Do you know what that means? Phoebe is a servant of the church. She's always in church, seeing how best she can serve in the church. A servant in the church. Not in disco. Not party. Sometimes party people are servants of Smirnoff. They say, Charlie, take Smirnoff. Take Smirnoff. Take Smirnoff. Take Smirnoff. Take Smirnoff. People are doing things. They advise people to take Smirnoff. They advise people to try because the alcohol percentage is not high. But Phoebe is found in the church. Can we have many Phoebes here found in the church? Sir. Not on Snap doing this. Stand on Snapchat showing things, serving people things. Then we now say, come to church and serve God in the church. You say that, oh, it's too much. It's too much. Phoebe is found in the church. She's found in the church. Constantly in the church. She was what we'll call a church girl. Well, what a beauty. What do you even get a church girl? A church girl. Not a bad church girl. A good church girl. Some of the church girls are bad. But they are not here. Yes. Good church girl. A good church girl. She's found in the church. You see her always in the church. I don't know, but growing up in the Seventh-day Adventist church, there were some people that every time the church was open, whether or not there was a meeting for their department or group, they were always there. Have you seen such people? Like once the church is open, they are there. Yeah, once the church is open, they are there. They'll be there to clean. They'll just be there. Like they are there. The church is where they are. Phoebe is that example of someone who is committed. And she serves the church. Now, serving the church will also mean she serves the people in the church. Maybe as we go throughout the years, we'll get to know which people are real Phoebes. Because, you know, there are churches. And when you go there, there's a group, a bunch of nice ladies. They make sure everybody is fine in a certain way. They scout through the people. Right? They laugh with everybody. They play with everybody. They flow with everybody. They are into everybody. They know everybody. They talk to everybody. She's a servant of the church. She gives herself to. She's committed to what has been entrusted to her care.
Not that there are excuses. Oh, I can't come. Oh, I can't do this. Oh, I'm busy. Oh, my, this is a lot of excuses. But you're going to be finding Phoebe a worthy example. Listen to me, it's my prayer that there are many Phoebes. They just love God and they serve his people in the church. In the church. So that's Phoebe. The guy is the same. He's a lady, but I mean, it's the same. Always constant with it. Committed to the cause. Every time you find them there. It doesn't have to be what department they are not. They are just there. Once the church is open, they are there. They are there serving the brethren. They are there serving the brethren. They are there serving the brethren. Sometimes even talking to the brethren is serving the brother. Just serving. Just making sure they are not alone. That's an example of somebody who is committed. See Acts 20 verse 4. Acts 20 verse 4. Acts 20 verse 4. Listen to me. If you are not committed, some other thing is going to take your commitment. You can't say you are on a neutral ground. Oh, I'm not committed to anything. As for me, I'm... No, you are committed to something. Sometimes you can even be committed to being lazy. Like laziness is your commitment. Yeah. So you can't say you're on a neutral ground of commitment. If you're not committed to church and his work, you'll be committed to probably something else. I'm not talking about something that's good, but something probably that's not even good. You're committed to it. When you go home, check your screen time. You get to know whether what I'm saying is true or not. If you like, next week I'll do that. You can bring your phones. We'll check. Everybody will tell us screen time. You'll be amazed. Some of you have 7 hours in one day. 6 hours in one day. I mean, averagely, 6 hours. Averagely. Or you want to say no. Check and see. Some of you can't even tell us. You say, what's your screen time? Pastor. Pastor. Pastor wants them to know. Pastor wants them to know. Pastor, I can't see. Yeah. Pastor, I can't explain. Pastor, I can't explain. I remember one time, I think the Lord was telling me, check your screen time. So I checked. And I said, I can't explain. He said, explain what? Do you want to know my explanation? I said, Lord, sometimes I use my phone to pray now. He said, no, check your screen time. It's true, I use my phone to pray. So if you check my screen time, it's like maybe 8 hours average. 8 hours includes all other things. 7 hours, 4 hours, whatever, 2 hours. So you can explain too, you see.
You don't use your phone for what I use my phone for.
Okay, go to apps, then the apps, the times that you check. Instagram, let's see. Okay, Snapchat, let's go to Snapchat. You want to remove your phones, eh? Ah, TikTok, huh? TikTok. How many of us genuinely, you know that what pastor is saying here, I confess. Which one, TikTok or Snapchat? Snapchat. Yeah. Snapchat. TikTok. Instagram, Netflix, phone, you gaming on your phone or something, bubble, is there, you're on it 2 hours, committed to the trust, you are committed, but, so when you come to church and we, 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, 1:30, 3 hours, you, the church is keeping all the,
Somebody listen to me right now. It's suffocating. 3 hours. My sister. 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, 1:30. Check your time. It's now 1:40 something. Just 3 hours. I won't come to the church again. I won't go to the church again. They keep long. Oh my goodness me. 3 hours in church. It's just 3 hours. My sister, it's just 3 hours. All the singing, drums, things you have done. 3 hours. 1, 2, 3. Let's be honest. You kill that for a movie in one sitting with your phone tilted to the wall. It's tilted. You see that you can see clearly. It's just 3 hours. I'm telling you. It's 3 hours. 1, 2, 3. But you see, you are complaining. Yes. All that we've done, what a treasure I have found in this family of God. 3 hours. 1, 2, 3. 3. But you already want to go. You want to leave the door. Let's say that we are praying for 3 hours here. You see something. Start removing their shoes. 3 hours prayer. You can't stand there and pray for 3 hours. But you can easily do things that you do for 3 hours. You can stand and pray for 3 hours. Just standing there praying or, you know, just walking 3 hours. 1 hour pass, 2 hours, about 3 hours will pass. Then you now want to say, I want God to, my sister, let's be serious. Tell your friends that, let's be serious. Are you going to be serious? Have you seen that what I'm telling you is true? I'm telling you it's just 3 hours. You are sitting in your chair, you think we spent 5 hours. It's just 3 hours. 1, 2, 3. The first hour which you were not even here. You're not here. So you joined in 2 hours. Time is up. Time is up. Romans chapter 20, verse 4. And there accompanied him into Asia. We are looking at more examples of people who are worthy. How many of us have 3-hour credit courses in school? 3-hour credit courses. Four. Four is normal. Six. Five. Six. Oh, six. Six is there. Six. You go to class 6 hours. You have credit hours. Simple. 6 hours. No break. Yes, no break. You are sitting, collecting things in your mind. In your mind, collecting things. 6 hours, you are there. Yeah. Those of you who did business, you don't do 6 hours. 2 hours. But we, as a church, we don't want to, we are not business kind of church. We are science kind of church. So 6 hours, we can sit down, receive the word, receive, say, the normal lifespan, attention span. Where did you get that from? Just, I've not even taught you for, what do you call it? I've not taught you for long. When you come for coming, I've just taught you 2 hours. 10 minutes. But you see, you are already shaking in your chest. You know? Acts 20, verse 4. And they accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians. There is Aristarchus. There is Secundus. There's Gaius, and then there's Timotheus. These are a bunch of faithful people. There's Tychicus, and then there's Trophimus. They accompanied him into Asia. And these people were found with him many of the times. I will just not go into it, but I have that here clearly. They were with him. See Aristarchus, Colossians 4 verse 10. Colossians 4 verse 10. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner. Do you see that? So, Acts just tells us they were with him. Colossians 4:10 tells us that Aristarchus was a prisoner with Paul. So it means that even when he was in prison, there was Aristarchus. Now, see Tychicus, who was a faithful minister, and he was known to often carry Paul's letters. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 21. Now, what we are doing is that we're trying to see those names mentioned in Acts chapter 20 verse 4. Then we can see examples of how committed they were in the fact that they were with Paul. Because we saw someone like Timotheus. We also saw someone like Silvanus. Are you listening? So why are we doing this? It's so that we also can learn from them as examples. Is that clear? All right. Ephesians chapter 6 verses 21. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord. So there was Aristarchus, there was Tychicus, who was a beloved brother, faithful minister to the call. There was also a guy called Erastus in Romans 16. Romans 16. These are examples of men who have been faithful or who were committed to whatever it is that was entrusted to them. Erastus was actually like a city treasurer. You see, so he was a good keeper of money. He could keep the money of the city. In Romans chapter 16, verse 23, Gaius, mine host. Oh yeah, I have Gaius here. We'll come to Gaius afterwards. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church saluted you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluted you. And Quartus, a brother. So you find out that Erastus was a chamberlain, somebody who dealt with a lot of money, kept money. And he was faithful to the trust. Now, for Paul to mention their names, it means that they were highly dependable people. It's like when I say, you can write everybody's name in the church, say hi to two people. I'm going to have to say hi to two people. It has to be somebody that has been really faithful. Because to say hi to them will mean saying hi to everybody. Do you understand? Or sometimes you can say hi to the entire church and a hi to one person. Because that one person becomes an example to others who follow. So when your pastor does not have your name come to his mind on a flash on a responsibility, there's something wrong with you, I'm telling you. Because when we do our head like this, we should say, this person should get it done. That's trust. I want God to see us as a ministry. When he wants something done, the first people he has on his mind is, let me trust these people. That's why you can't come to church and you're moody. You don't pray. You don't pray before you come and stand here. You don't pray before you sing. You don't pray before you play an instrument. We tell you to usher, you say, hey, let me demonstrate something I shared with the ushers people. Sure. See, someone who's a good actor. Yeah, you do a good job. Hey. Aristarchus. These are future Aristarchus. Huh? And usher, we say, stand here and smile. Gather the people and tell them, oh, would you sit here? You're welcome to church. Because you are angry, you said, hey, everybody should suffer for your anger. Sit down. Let me illustrate something, Bishop. Sit down, as an usher. Say, be nice to the people. And you say, hey.
No. This one is, there's no space. I would have shown you something. Dangerous usher. Pastor said you shouldn't be sitting here. And then they say, hey. Hey, you kill people. Oh. And usher, you hurt people. So you can find out that you're going to find this chamberlain who is Erastus being a good steward of what has been committed to his hands. I have rehearsals with the choir people and I say, sing it like this. They've not done that, but then you come and sing something that I didn't say sing. See, you're not committed to the trust. You are breaking a trust in a sense. Some of you explain too much. You have a lot of excuses. That's what's making you uncommitted. Somebody gives you 20 CDs, new ones. Say, keep it for me. Don't touch it. It's not your money. Don't say that. I'll take 40 CDs when my 40 CDs comes. I'll put it inside. That's how one lady was tested with a rich man. Give 20 CDs notes. Say, keep it for me. I'll take it back in 4 weeks. When he came around, some of the 20 has become oil. If it's not yours, it's not yours. Don't take it. So you're going to find Erastus faithful. Are you going to be faithful? Erastus is faithful. He handles money. Some of you, they give you even 10,000 CDs, you'll be shaking like this. Your father says, you know where your father keeps his money. You go and you pull some. Please, let's be serious. You think these things I'm saying are very far away from you. You'll be amazed. You think it's very far away. You are sitting there, you are looking at me. You'll be amazed that you are the one listening to me. I think it's an example that is very far. It's not far. It's not far. So you'll find him being faithful. When they tell you things, when your pastor tells you something, he trusts you, that's why he shares that with you. You say, Have you heard? Pastor told me. The pastor gets to hear and says, this one is not trustable. Or somebody shares something with you that's very convenient. Of course, we don't keep things alone. We don't share, but you should be trustable with information. I should be able to trust you with information. I should be able to have a discussion with you and not hear that discussion somewhere else. You also should be able to have other people have discussions with you. Of course, not to a high authority. I've taught you that very clearly. But you must be trustable with good information. Do you understand? Don't blabber your mouth everywhere. Everywhere you spill it out. Everybody knows everything about your life. Meanwhile, you've changed besties 12 times this year alone. It's my bestie. Another bestie. Then they all know everything. I'm not trustable. That's how someone spoiled someone's surprise birthday party. You can't say. You say to them, you very realize, you say, hey, you do know what we are planning for you. We are planning a big birthday party for you. Big one. We even plan to a big one. But you let me keep my mouth shut. Those kind of people. Seriously. I met a man fighting with his wife. Because the wife cannot keep her. Like anything he tells, he goes to tell somebody. So, So now, he's not too sure. He's not too sure whether he can share certain secret information. Yeah. The women too like doing that too. They will never tell their husbands how much they truly, truly aim and where they get their money from. Yeah, some women are like that. They don't, you never know. You know that they work here, power, but you have a speculation. You are not too sure. You're not too sure. No. I want us to be people who can be trusted. Are you listening? That's all I'm trying to say. That's why I use all of these examples. It's just so you be a trustworthy person. Trustable with anything. I should be able to walk with you and not be afraid that you're going to stab me in the back one day. Yeah. Many of the times, you see, as a pastor, you start to become more careful. Maybe we're holding a dagger, for example. And you are standing by the wall. And I say, say, hey, pastor, I was joking. Joking. And then you smile at me again one time. I said, hey, what are you doing? And then the third time, I'm standing close to you again. Hey, you were trying to kill me. My brother is very serious. So now when we are walking, we are saying, careful there. Careful there. Because this one guy, you don't know when you will have to escape that. Think careful. Careful, careful. Careful, don't be careful. Oh, it was a mistake. I was just practicing my dagger. Practicing with life. Are you serious? So, we ought to be trustable. You should be handed responsibilities and you are trustable in that space. That thing is going to work. Are you listening? It's going to work. It's going to work. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 15, our last scripture for the day. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 15. And I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas, and it is the first fruit of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. You can see what's happening. There's a household that's called Stephanas, and they are committed to serving the Lord. Committed to serving the Lord. Committed to serving the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Committed to serving the Lord. Committed to serving the Lord. The house of Stephanas is committed to the service of the Lord. In the ministry of the saints, they are always found being consistent. The house of Stephanas. I want you to make commitment to any trust giving you something that you give your best to.
Lord, help us stay committed. Help us stay committed. The house of Stephanas is committed. What are you going to do? Are you going to be committed? Or you're not going to be committed? Close your eyes in this place. Lord, we're going to stay committed to you. We're going to stay committed to you. I keep saying this. Choose God over anything, over everything that life will give you. Options to choose from. Choose him. Be committed to him. Be committed to him. Be committed to him. Committed just like Jesus was committed to God and to his work. Yes. Make this a heartfelt prayer. Make this a heartfelt prayer. Make this a heartfelt prayer. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Make this a heartfelt prayer. Lord, we thank you for great commitment. Ah, stuma mangish, digra tatasa, kolopuso, jandigi sopra takatara davase, jotoporo doboso brada brada barada basha televrekishta, mantekiso sopra dabaya. Like I told you, you're gonna choose a course, and when you choose that course, which is God, you're gonna stay at it. Lord, help us to be committed to you. Help us to be committed to you. Help us to be committed to you, to your work, to the ministry. We put all excuses aside. We lay all excuses aside. We lay all excuses aside. Salamango soprate katea. Moratata parakate zizo protokopoe. Jaliste quebranto robobobo shetere davia. Oh Lord, help us. In the next 1 minute, just undertone. Just make a commitment to God. Make a commitment to him. You know, people of God, is going to get more busier. The days are going to get more busier, I tell you. It's going to get more busier. But in the coming days, you ought to remember the commitments that you made. You understand that there's a trust given to you. The days are going to get more, it's going to get more busier. There are going to be more busier days. But we'll say, Lord, in the midst of these busy days, we'll not let go of our commitment to you and to your cause and to your work and to what you've called us to do. We'll always remember that we chose you and we will always choose you over anything. Kalibra Shatai, Mantosu Zebrede Kepai. Yeah. There are going to be busier times. But don't forget what I'm telling you. When those days come, you're going to ask for wisdom. We ask for it now, for the days ahead, for the weeks ahead, for the months ahead, for the times that we have ahead. Lord, to stay committed to your work, to stay committed to the church, to stay committed to what you've called us to do. To give our all, to be dedicated, to be found constant throughout, time in and time out.